Blog Talk Radio.
Discussing current events, politics, and anything that's going on in the world today. Well, hello. Welcome to the Real People Podcast. I am Verna, alongside Vivian. How you doing, Vivian?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing great on this Thursday. Today is July 2nd, 2020, 2 days before the 4th of July. Well, today, Vivian, we're going to be discussing cash to kill Americans. And what that's about is the bounty that was put on Americans' heads over in Afghanistan. We'll talk about that, and also we'll give you an update on the coronavirus. So how are you today? Hello?
Yes, I'm still here. I'm sorry, I missed that word. Say that again.
I was just asking you how you were doing today.
I am doing well. I told you, look, my day is great as long as we're here. Given everything that's going on, girl, listen, if we're still here, we have a chance to change something.
Okay. I'm with you on that 100%. Well, I guess we'll just get right into this cash to kill Americans. And what I'm going to do, I'll just read you this from the New York Times here. It says, U.S. officials recently concluded that Russia's spy agency was paying bounties for killing coalition troops. That included Americans, and of course the Kremlin and the Taliban have denied it. So they were paying up to like $100,000 a head to kill our American soldiers.
Wow.
And so this was from our intelligence. And of course, you know, our president and the White House said that first they said he wasn't briefed. Then they say he was briefed. And so I don't know. So, I mean, what say you about this whole thing? You and your husband both were in the military, and I thank you guys for your service. But what do you have to say about this? I mean, this is incredible. This is outrageous.
Well, here's the thing. I don't understand why he would, one, not be briefed. Now, from my understanding, there is a presidential daily briefing every single day. Right. And so apparently this went off. I think this happened like in 2019, and the intelligence committee, or not the intelligence committee, but the community stated that, you know, there's something going on here. And it was given to him in a briefing, yet no one gave him the briefing. Or, I mean, what was the purpose behind not giving him the briefing? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because here's the thing. Here's my question. If you tell me you didn't get the briefing, yet we know the intelligence existed, what would be the purpose in not receiving the information? Is it, one, people don't trust you? Or, two, is it the fact that they know you would dismiss it because that you consider that a friendly nation? You know, those are questions. The why, to me, is more important than anything else, so that we can adjust going forward. Because if you don't trust this man, he shouldn't be president, period, hands down. There's no end of discussion. if the country is a he thinks Putin is a friendly, I still come to the same conclusion. But you know, I just, there's got to be a reason why, because it should not be tolerated under any circumstances.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. It just boggles my mind that a president of the United States would not get a briefing on something this serious. Somebody put a bounty on your soldier's head, and you, it's in your, the PDB, whatever they call it, I think it's the presidential daily briefing. So it was in there,
yes,
but nobody bothered to tell him, sir, you should look at this. But from what I've been listening to other intelligent agents, agents on TV say, that once they put something like that in a briefing, something like that would be like, you know, that would be like on the front page. So that would be something that you would look at. But then at the same time, rumor has it that our president does not read his briefings. They like for the, you know, he likes for them to give him, you know, a little bullet points of what's going on. I mean, can you imagine being a president of the United States and you don't want to read? You don't want to know what's going on? And everybody's thinking, well, what is his deal with Putin? I mean, I just don't understand why. To this day, even though this has come out and they have said a lot of different things, the president still has not said, well, if this was true, this is what we're going to do. We're not hearing any of that. And that's what's so upsetting to me. That's the most upsetting thing to me.
I think that's the telltale, though. I think that's the telltale sign that something is amiss. Something's wrong, because any president at this point would be smoking mad, just upset and saying, we have got to do something about this and I will not tolerate it. Because here's the thing, if you don't react and we don't have a definite, definitive response, then it's going to allow other countries to do the same thing. They're just going to go through Russia to do it. And all I'm saying is that, And so I guess his explanation is simply that, well, it's a possibility that the information is not correct. Within the intelligence community, some are saying it's fake, and then others are saying it's not. Okay, so from everything that I have taken a look at, I mean, they pretty much have the guy, Rahmatullah Azizi, is who they believe was the middleman doing this. And so what they, and actually this was, he was like a low drug dealer. And at some point
smuggler,
he just became, smuggler. Yeah. So at some point he is now, like I said, he's got cars, he's got houses, you know, he's got a lot of money. Where did it all come from? When our intelligence looked at it, even when speaking with his friends and family and even some business partners that was working with him, this is where he was getting his money from, was from Russia, in order to facilitate these bounties on American soldiers. I don't understand why we can see that, and we clearly have this information. And then from my understanding, the president is now saying it's a hoax.
Yeah,
really?
That's what he does. I mean, and he said, you know, really, I think he should resign. I mean, this is just so beyond what a president should, how he should respond. I mean, everything is a hoax. I mean, he's playing the same game. Everything is a hoax. You know, he doesn't want to be responsible. He doesn't want the responsibility of being a president. And his thing with Putin, we don't know what the deal is with him and Putin, but everybody keeps saying it must be something so bad that he can't even say anything bad about him. So we may never know. Hopefully, if the new president, Joe Biden, and somebody do some investigations, we may find out what the real deal is. But until then, I think that it's so embarrassing. Our country is in shambles. I mean, our allies, we hardly have any left, you know, and Trump thinks that the Putin is our friend, and he's doing everything. I mean, Russia has really been getting aggressive with us. They've been flying, you know, spy planes in our airspace, you know, and we're not doing anything about it. You know, no other president would let that happen. Trump lets this kind of stuff go on, and I don't understand what the problem is, why he's letting this man do this. And I'm telling you, Vivian, when all the protesting was going on and they had those men up there, those soldiers lined up at the Lincoln Memorial, and I know it's one of my wild conspiracy theories. It's mine. It's people. It's my own craziness. That's how, you know, this stuff has just made me nuts. But my theory is I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't Russian soldiers, because nobody knew who they were. They didn't have any names on, you know, and the gear they was wearing, you know, it's not what American soldiers wear. So
uniform.
Who were these people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this whole thing just had me nuts. I mean, each day I wake up, Vivian, I hate to even, you know, go to my computer, because I know it's just another day filled with craziness. Each day. I think you had a clip or something, didn't you, on a that you want to play?
Yeah, exactly. This clip is from the Washington Post. This is Ellen Nakashima, and if I'm butchering that name, I don't mean to. But it's her analysis on what's going on now. We've got about 3 minutes to break, so I think we can get through this.
President Trump has consistently now tweeted out that he was not briefed on this report. He tweeted that he was told by the intelligence, the U.S. intelligence, that they did not find the information credible and thus did not brief him. One wonders, well, if the intelligence was not credible, why was the National Security Council running a meeting back in late March to discuss the report and begin to think about response options? Right now, the Hill has reacted quite strongly with the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, in the House.
We have called for a report to the Congress on this. This is as bad as it gets.
Senator Lindsey Graham has said he wants to know whether or not the reports are true. It could have been that the information was in the president's written presidential daily brief, but the president famously does not read his written PDB. He gets his briefing orally about three times a week. And so if something is in the PDB, it's not a given that he has seen it, read it, or even heard about it. Trump is famously an accommodationist when it comes to Putin. His summit with Putin in Helsinki in July of 2018 shocked, stunned many, because after he seemed to side with Putin over his own U.S. intelligence agencies after they concluded with high confidence that Russia had interfered in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. This is, you know, unprecedented for Russia to have targeted U.S. troops on the ground like this, in this way, certainly for the GRU to do that in Afghanistan. It is an escalation. I don't think this is something that's going to go away with a tweet.
Wow.
Right.
That's absolutely crazy. I think we can, if you want to, we can go ahead and take the break and then come back and discuss what she just said.
Yeah, because that was, yeah, okay.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Okay, we are back. If you would like to join our conversation, the number to call in is 516-531-9257. That's 516-531-9257. Okay, Vivian, getting back to this clip you just played. It's just unconscionable that our president does not even read his briefing. You have to give it to him orally. I mean, how lazy can you be? I mean, this is just incredible. And the other day, the press secretary said that it's a shame. She says, well, the president can read because one of the reporters asked if he could read. it's not funny, but it's so embarrassing. It's just bad. It's just bad, bad, all around bad. I mean, what do you think? Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is that it's interesting to me that even when presidents leave the office, most of the time they still want to have that presidential briefing daily. They still want it because they want to be in the know. They want to be able to, and I'm sure, and if I'm not mistaken, President Obama is probably still getting his because you have that as an option. And actually, I think even if you're the head of the FBI, I think you have an option. It may not be the presidential daily, but it's definitely a security briefing that you're accustomed to getting. So I find it interesting that he will not take the time to even just simply have the daily briefing, because the daily briefings let us know the state of the world. We need to know what's going on in Afghanistan. We need to know what North Korea is doing today. We need to know if there's any catastrophic weather events coming up. Those are important because they directly affect, if not on a global impact, definitely on a national impact. And by the way, let's be clear. We do know that I'm sure in one of these briefings that he may or may not got would have been the coronavirus that was going on in Wuhan many, many months ago. So are you telling me you didn't read that? Or you was not briefed on it? And it goes back to the other question, why?
Yeah. Well, I just think, like I say, if you look at how he treats our allies and how he treats Putin, Erdogan, and any of the others, dictators, Xi Jinping. I mean, I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that guy's name right. what's the Chinese prime minister name? What's his name? Xi? I mean, the way he treats the dictators.
So
the way he treats those guys, those are the people he likes. And our allies, he does not care for them. He doesn't. I don't understand. I mean, a lot of people say, and this is another conspiracy, they said that Trump gets his marching orders from Putin, that he's an actual Russian. I don't know how true that is, but it does kind of makes you wonder what is going on there, since, you know, he won't say anything bad about him at all, even when they do stuff to us, to our country. It just seems like his his whole thing is about getting reelected and his numbers and his ratings. I mean, that's all he cares about. It doesn't seem to care about the American people. He had a press conference today talking about, you know, the jobs number, and, you know, we did, what, 4 million jobs for the month of June, and he was so happy about, but there's still a lot of people out of work. So that doesn't mean anything. And the feds are, you know, pumping up the stock market, you know, buying all those junk bonds. So, I mean, it's giving us giving people a false sense of security. I mean, people that know what's going on know that that's not true. So, anyway, sorry about that. I was trying to look up something on the coronavirus. But anyway, but yeah, I mean, he seems to have this thing with Putin. And I don't know what's going on there. I mean, I wish I knew, because it just seems like he's scared to death of the man. I mean, after Helsinki, I was done with Trump. When he embarrassed our country like he did, and he walked out there with his head hanging down and just looking like he was defeated. And John Bolton said when he said that he believed, you know, Putin over our intelligence agency, he said he didn't know what to do. He said he couldn't.
Yeah.
He was like frozen. He couldn't move out of his seat. He was just outdone. It's incredible. I mean, what do you think is going on with President Trump and Vladimir Putin?
Well, let me just say, I mean, We'll say Comey, remember, last year, he opened up an investigation to find out if he secretly was a Russian asset. I mean, that in itself gives you all sorts of red flags, because who would do that with the president unless some serious information to really consider about him and what he's doing behind the scenes? And here's the other thing. Wait a minute. Just go back one thing. When he first got in the office and he let a Russian intelligence officer go into the Oval Office with no one else and close the door?
Yeah.
Who does that? Come on. I know not, that ain't even
a Russian asset.
A rookie mistake. I mean, I'm not even in politics or anything, but that is not even a rookie mistake, man. You know better than that.
I don't think it was a mistake. I just think that's what he wanted to do. You know, he doesn't, you know, when he has meetings with Putin, he does not have any he doesn't have anybody in there with him then. And they said he has called Putin like five times. What are you calling? What are y'all talking about?
Women,
and then he doesn't
win.
Do it on a secure line. It's like the guy is, you know, he's calling him, and you know, it's just crazy. I don't understand, and I don't understand the Republicans standing behind this, because remember when Benghazi happened? Boy, that was a big deal. These people have bounties on our servicemen's heads, and at least three people have died since last year, and we really think that it was the result of this. So people are mad.
I think
they're
it's
really,
more than that.
Really mad.
I think it's more than that, Vern. I honestly think it's more than that. First of all, I want to go back to what you just said a few minutes ago. He's calling Putin. You're telling me since this information broke in the press, you're telling me he's been calling Putin? Oh, see, that in itself is another red flag. You know how, like, you know, I said, you know, like, it's like bong, bong, bong. Because clearly, guys, I don't understand what's going on here. Because you're telling me rather than address your public, rather than address the people who voted you in office, rather than address the American people, you will call him behind closed doors and say, what? Did you ask him a question? Did you do that? I don't
know.
Nobody
knows.
But my point is, yeah, someone knows because they're on that call. Because one, let me say this, if he didn't make the call from the White House, which we know everything from the White House is taped, and then we also know that they have a vault they're putting everything in that they think is questionable. I put that in air quotes, questionable. The other thing is if you're telling me they called in an open line, then everyone heard it. You got all sorts of the intelligence. The best, some of the best intelligence agencies, like Pakistan and stuff, they must have copies of it. But clearly something is going on here. And earlier you said he should resign. I don't think he should resign. It's too late now. Just let that get voted out, or let someone else run. Take everything from him or strip him of his power and just let him walk out gracefully. Because unfortunately, when he flies out on Air Force One, not Air Force One, I forgot what the name of the helicopter, but when he flies out on it for the last time and do his lap around the White House, when he lands, he's probably going to be taken into custody.
I don't know. I'm hoping so. I believe there's a lot of crony stuff going on behind the scenes. I mean, with all these phone calls and what are you talking about? And then nobody's on the call. Remember when he had when he was impeached for, you know, doing the quid pro quo thing with Zelensky over in the Ukraine? Well, after that, he made sure only his sycophants were on the call from now on. He didn't let anybody else, you know, because Vindman and a couple other people were on the call. So he made sure none of those people were on the calls and on his calls now. So we don't know who's listening in. May not be anybody. I mean, unless the, you know, intelligence agency may be not telling him. But for the most part, you know, he has his own people. And that's why he got rid of a lot of the people in the State Department, because he wants his own people in there. He wants a bunch of yes men. And anybody who wants a bunch of yes people around them, they're not, you know, something's not right. You know.
Yeah, well, he likes to keep up the chaos.
Yeah, well, I think he thrives on the chaos. He loves it. The more chaos there is, the happier he is, because he hasn't done anything to try to bring the country together. As a matter of fact, he's been, you know, tweeting pictures of people that taking down the statues and, you know, just saying all kind of crazy things about them. And I mean, he's just so unprofessional. I guess there's just some things you're not born with. And they never taught him any manners, whoever raised him, because he just doesn't have it. Or he's been getting away with so much stuff all his life that this is all he knows. I don't know which it is, but this guy, we cannot go 4 more years with him, because I don't know what kind of country we're going to have. I mean, we're just at the bottom now. You know, we have more coronaviruses. People that have the coronavirus than anybody in the whole world. The United States, who usually leads the way, we're behind the curve. It's pitiful. There are no words.
Yeah, let me add a couple questions for you. One, do you think? Are you a little scared at how close he really is to Russia, and what has been told to Russia? Because you just indicated just now that you feel the country is changed for the next few years. Could he have given information to Russia that would completely alter our future, at least for the duration? Or do you think this is just he still maintained some type of security acumen and didn't give out information the way people are assuming that he did?
That he has that information, because our intelligence people know that he's not the smartest person in the room. So I think they hold back some things because they know that he remember when he had the Russians in the Oval Office and he gave out intelligence information about Israel. And so I think after that, nobody gives him any real, you know, information. Because if he's not reading his PDB, then I'm sure they're not giving him any, you know, any stuff that could damage our country. I hope not. Because, I mean, the guy is careless. I mean, if he's not reading, then why would they even give him, you know, that kind of information? And if he's always having conversations with Putin with nobody on the line and calling them up all the time. They say it's not only does he call Putin, they say Erdogan can call Trump anytime he wants to. Trump can be on the golf course and Erdogan would call him and they'll hunt him down. I mean, what is that about? You know, we wouldn't even deal with the turkey, you know, like that. They didn't, you know, you don't get to be, you know, you're the president of the United States. You know, people are clamoring to get to you. I mean, you're not having nobody hunt you down. I mean, that's what I read the other day. I mean, that's how, but they said he would get on the phone and call up world leaders just anytime. And there's a protocol. You just don't just get on the phone like you're calling your brother or your sister or some one of your friends and call these world leaders. But they said Trump was doing that. That's what he was doing.
Wow.
You know, it's embarrassing.
You know, I can see how he – yeah. I don't even know what to say there, but I can see how you might pick up a phone call and call someone. But I agree with you that there is a protocol that we must maintain because those processes are in place for a reason.
Yeah.
It's a safeguarding of the country. You know this.
Right.
Go ahead.
And okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm interrupting you. Finish your thought.
No. That's pretty much it because I'm just as confused as you are. I don't know what to tell you.
Also, you know, he got mad at Angela Merkel because he asked her to come to the, you know, the G7. And she said, no, it's the coronavirus going on. Nobody's coming to the United States. And plus, who wants to come to the United States right now with our coronavirus all out of control? And so then after that, he's so petty. So you know what he does? He wants to pull troops out of Germany just because he got mad at Merkel about that. What kind of, you know, he's just childish, just a childish person. He's a toddler. They call him the toddler in chief. You know, because he just does. I mean, everything is vindictive. Everything is just out about getting people back and all this kind of stuff. But he never really liked Merkel anyway. And he's talking about she's dumb. That woman has a PhD, if I'm not mistaken, in biochemistry or something like that. I mean, she's way smarter than him.
Yeah. And she's also credited for unifying the EU, too, also. So she's... I agree with you on that. There's no way. She's accredited for unifying the EU.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
So she is not stupid at all. But can I ask you something? Another question.
Yes. Did I answer your other
remember,
question?
Yes, you did. Remember he has a – who's writing the tell-all book right now? Okay. So if you look at excerpts from Mary Trump's book, she talks about it. It almost makes you feel bad for him because what she's household dynamic was just one of chaos, which would be consistent with what he's doing today, and a lot of emotional distress. Which would cause also the we see where you have that disconnect with people, and you're after just getting what you can get. But I mean, I'm not saying I feel sorry for the man, but reading excerpts from a book may have us under. We might be able to understand his behavior. Not that it's right,
okay,
but understand why he is
what
he is.
And what was your question?
Okay, maybe I didn't have a question. Maybe I was just saying it, but don't.
Well, I think what you're saying is
no
that. Yeah. Well, maybe that's. I mean, that could be why he doesn't have empathy. But then he needs a mental evaluation. He shouldn't be running a country. Okay. So he gets no sympathy from me because he's a vindictive person. Even if he had a. There's lots of people that had hard childhoods. I had one. Do I go out and do crazy stuff to people? No. You know, I mean, everybody, you choose to to decide how you're going to live your life. And, you know, his hero is, you know, Roy Coyne. I don't know if you read about this lawyer, but the guy says never apologize about nothing and just keep a lot of chaos going, throw a lot of stuff out there at people, and it'd be hard for them to keep up with you. So, I mean, Trump loves that. That's just his personality. Even if you're born in weird situations or bad situations, when you become an adult, you make your own choices. You decide what's right and wrong. You know the difference between right and wrong. Even if you don't have empathy, you still know right from wrong. And but if you've been conning people all your life, it's hard to break them habits. It's just like being a drug addict. If you've been one for a long time, it's hard to stop being one. And so if he's been a grifter and a con artist all his life, he's not about to stop just because he's president of the United States.
Right, right. And I think that's what that book was trying to say.
Yeah. Well, I haven't, you know, I think they, you know, he went to court to try to keep her from putting it out there, but she won her court battle, so it looked like it's going to be out in about 2 weeks. So anyway, look like it's time for another break. What say you?
Yes, let's take this break. But when we come back, are we going to talk about the same subject or are we going to do some updates?
I think we need to move on to the coronavirus.
Okay.
And stand together to serve our veterans. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Okay, I want to remind our listeners, if you want to join our conversation, the number to call is 516-531-9257. Now, we're going to discuss the coronavirus, kind of give you an update of what's going on in the USA. Right now, Vivian, we have 2,679,000 cases and 128,000 people have died. Now, can you give me a little bit let me know what's going on in my state of Texas that I'm no longer there, but I still want to know what's going on in Texas because I heard that you guys got hit pretty hard.
We are still being hit hard. And like I said, once again, I really think it has to do with our leadership. Yesterday, I think we had 8,000 cases, over 8,000 cases. Today, the cases are, yes, and today the case count is like 7,900. So these cases are not going anywhere. They are just simply going up. I can tell you that as of now, just a few, I guess about an hour or two ago, the governor came out and stated that it is now mandatory in all counties with 20 or more COVID cases to wear masks. And I have to tell you, I went to the gas station yesterday with my son, and we were both wearing masks. The looks we got for wearing the mask was just, you know, like no one was wearing a mask. And they were looking at us like, what the heck are you guys doing? Now, I have to tell you, I am definitely in Republican country where people think this is all a hoax. But I can tell you it's definitely not because apparently, as you know, there's people, we know people now with it, and
yeah.
It's not a hoax. And I can tell you that one of my friends that have it right now, within I think the last week we had four people that we know came down with it. And so, and I can tell you she's having a good, I mean, she's okay, but she's saying this stuff is awful. She said it's awful.
Yeah.
And she gets the food quite often, like every other year or so.
Mm-hmm.
And she said this is just ridiculous.
Wow. Wow.
So
Who got it?
Who?
Remember Herman Cain? He ran for president. Remember him?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, he was at the Tulsa rally a couple of weeks ago, whenever the Tulsa rally was. I can't even remember. Was it last week or week before last? And he tweeted a picture of him and some more African Americans that were at the Tulsa rally. Nobody had on a mask. And he's in a hospital now, today, you know, with the coronavirus. And they said Oklahoma has a lot of people with the coronavirus now. And I don't know if this is a result of a lot of people going to that rally that, you know, our president is getting ready to go to Mount Rushmore for the 4th of July. And the governor there says that they're not wearing masks and they're not going to make people wear a mask. The people that are going to come out to see the president, I mean, it's irresponsible. I mean, he should be fired just for being irresponsible. I mean, he's telling people now to wear a mask, but he said you still haven't seen him with a mask on. I just don't believe this stuff. I really don't. I don't understand it at all and what his purpose.
Yeah, yeah. And look, going with the conspiracy theory here, everywhere he goes, or someone from the White House go to, we end up with a whole bunch of cases. You remember here, what, about a week ago, maybe a week or two ago, we had Pence here? You know, as a matter of fact, he came down also. I take that back. A few weeks earlier, he had come for a fundraiser. Ever since then, numbers have skyrocketed. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
So you're saying he's wanting people to get it?
I'm not saying he's intentionally giving it, but I'm just saying apparently something's going on with this entourage of his that everywhere he goes, so a whole bunch of people catch it. That's my theory. And I know it's out there, but I got one other one too, and I'm going to throw this one out there too. You notice too that the hardest hit areas are the areas with ports. Like Los Angeles, big port, Texas, Houston port, it's like number three port in the United States. New York was hit hard, huge ports, probably the number one port in the United States. Florida, another huge port. If you were, say, an enemy, foreign enemy, you could use this as a tactic to soften the target before attacking. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but the only thing about your theory, Vivian, is that everybody's getting coronavirus. I mean, every country in the world has somebody that has it. And then Russia, like, you know, one of our enemies, I mean, a lot of people have it, but they don't even let people, you know, they're doing worse than we are on that because they won't even, you know, they're not doing a lot of testing. So a lot of their population has it. But I understand what you're saying.
Really?
You know, maybe people could if you got your guard down, but I don't know how anybody could actually do any fighting now because of the coronavirus, because you can't have a bunch of people, you know, in a group together. But nowadays you don't really need that. You can just fire off a missile and weaken somebody,
Okay, let me be clear. Not that they would attack now. You remember you have to soften the target. You soften the target by, in this case, making everyone sick, overrunning the hospitals, and overworking your military, your police departments and all that. So that if they were to come in after this, you have not structurally, the infrastructure is still broken, and that's when you attack. It's a military text.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I mean, and
okay.
they wonder
okay.
why people are going out buying weapons. I'm just saying. You know I'm at military. I'm just telling you, that's the kind of stuff they do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could see someone thinking like that, but I don't know. I still say with the virus being out there, I just still, even if you did soften the target, because the coronavirus is not going away until we get some kind of vaccine. So it's here for at least another year, I say. So I don't know. That's crazy, but I don't know. me and you and our conspiracy theories, maybe. I don't know. We're getting like the QAnon people, and we don't want to go down that route. Because those people are nuts, totally nuts. But I don't know, this coronavirus thing is like you say, it's a weird thing. But I just can't believe politicizing wearing a mask. I mean, things had gotten so bad that even Mitch McConnell had to come out and say people need to start wearing a mask, because Republicans weren't even, you know, on board with it at first. You know, you had Trump out there telling people to liberate this place and that place and not wear a mask. And so, and like that one guy said, that if the president would start wearing a mask, people would stop this nonsense, you know, attacking
right.
people because they have masks on. And they had the lady in Dallas that was throwing all her food out of the basket. Did you see that video?
Yes,
you know, she didn't
want
to wear a mask. And I'm like, what is, you know, they need to arrest her and put her in jail for just destroying stuff. Because it's ignorance to me. Yeah. Throwing food out the thing. If you didn't want to, just get out of there. They, you know, everybody, wear your mask. You know, I read a tweet today from Twitter. They said they'll put an edit button on Twitter if everybody start wearing a mask. I think they should just make the whole country, make it mandatory for people to wear a mask. Put it out there.
I think so.
Trump needs to do that. If he does it, then, you know, it won't be no big deal, because the people that, you know, listen to him, the conservatives, I mean, they have just gone crazy. They're the ones out there talking trash about it, because, you know, most people with good sense are saying, hey, I don't care what's going on, I'm wearing my mask. Y'all can get it if y'all want to. You know, if I get it, it won't be because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I'll put it like that.
There you go. There you go. And the first rule of thumb when you learn to drive is that you drive for you and the people next to you. So I'm putting on a mask for me and for you.
Exactly.
If you decide to wear one or not. I'm just saying. So I completely agree with you on that. And I think though, it has everything to do with the leadership, like you just stated, because if he wears one, everyone else will wear one. And I do know that if, and I'm just throwing it out there, if the former president was still president, he would have come out and unified the country and said, listen, it's not something we want to do, kind of like what Cuomo did, not something we all want to do. I know it doesn't look as attractive as you'd want it to be, but it's something we have to do as a responsibility as American citizens to not only safeguard our own families, but to safeguard someone else's too. You may not be vulnerable, but there is a vulnerable population out there, and we want to protect them as well, because it's all about life. Every life is important.
Yeah. Well, if our ex-president, the former president, was in place, you know, we had a pandemic team, so it wouldn't
yeah.
even got out of control. We would have known what China was doing because we had people stationed in China, part of a pandemic team. So it never would have got to this. I mean, we had, 12,000 people die from the swine flu. And also, remember the other day I was telling you about another pandemic they think is brewing over in China? Well,
yes.
It's got to do with the swine flu. And I'm like, geez, what is going on in China? What are they doing over there?
They want world domination. So they're playing with stuff. And viruses is one of them.
I believe that. Now, that I do believe. Because we still don't know how this virus got out. They said it was in a lab and it got out. So until we know what really happened there, I wouldn't be surprised. Because there's always going to be somebody somewhere and some.
I agree.
I I mean, you know, there's always going to be somebody trying to take over the world. You remember that the cartoon Peaky and the Brain? Every day,
yeah.
You know, he woke up. I mean, his thing was to, you know, dominate and rule the world. That was the only thing he thought about every single day. And I believe there are people out there like that. What do you think?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I love Pinky and the Brain, too, by the way. And as soon as you said that, that was my first thought. I was like, yep, Pinky and the Brain. Because I believe that their whole goal is world domination. And you even have video clips, if you ever watch on YouTube sometime, where they had this lady in Florida who was simply going out and buying all of N95 masks and then laughing about it, talking about these, well, the Americans won't get these. And it's like, what?
Yeah. It's crazy. So, well, anyway, there's one subject. I mean, as far as the coronavirus, I mean, we're going to try to give our listeners an update every time we do our show, because I know it's going to be with us for a while. It's not going nowhere no time soon, even though the vaccine is something they're working on. Dr. Fauci said the other day, you know, it might be sooner than we think that they have a vaccine. So, anyway, today, I don't know if you knew, but remember Jeffrey Epstein? Remember him?
Yes. Yes, unfortunately,
but anyway,
yes.
Remember the lady that was his friend that helped get girls to him, Ghislaine Maxwell? I think that's her name.
Yes.
I'm not sure I'm pronouncing her name right, but anyway, she was arrested today. And boy, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people nervous. You know, Alan Dershowitz and the Clintons and a whole bunch of people. Prince Andrew over in the UK, I don't know what this lady's, I know she knows where all the bodies are buried. I know they were running a child trafficking sex ring. And so there's no telling what she's going to say, but everybody thinks that she's going to go the same way that Epstein did. What do you think?
Yeah, possibly, but I'm wondering what she actually knows, because let's just think about this. She was around the same time he was, so he had something to say. Why didn't she say something before?
Because he left money to her, you know. And I think she was over his estate, if I'm not mistaken. I probably need to really go read up on that before I throw that out there. But she was, they were real close, and she the one got a lot of the young girls for him. So, I mean, maybe they've been investigating her and putting all the pieces together, and that's why they didn't arrest her at the time they arrested him. Oh, maybe this investigation, you know, has been going on for a while, and they just put it all together. So we're going to see what Bill Barr does about this. It's the Southern District of New York that arrested her, so we'll see what happens. But I thought that was kind of interesting. I saw that today. I'm like, man. Every day I wake up, Vivian, is some craziness going on. And so that's been the hot news of today. You know, and still the bounty story is not going anywhere. But I know President Trump wants it to go away, but it's not going away because people are staying on that case. That's a serious thing right there.
Yeah.
So to wrap it all up, you know, the bounty, we talked about the bounty on Americans' heads today, and we talked about the coronavirus, and at the end here, we talked about Ghislaine Maxwell. And so, actually, we got in three things today. We did good today.
Well, we got one more. What about CHOP?
Okay.
Because the update on CHOP, that they finally dismantled CHOP and CHAZ.
Yeah. What about that? Go ahead.
Look, you know, it looks like they actually, after a night of protesting, even going by the mayor's house, they have, you know, at this point, it's no longer a autonomous zone. It's now open. The federal employees have already come in and moved all the barricades and everything. So it's no longer in existence. But then we've got something else brewing here in New York. Looks like New York is trying to take over the city hall, so, and they're just sitting there camping out. So I'm anxious to kind of see if this is going to be another autonomous zone. The mayor seems to be kind of tolerant of it, so I'm wondering if this is going to start something else. I'm not sure, but I guess we'll see in the next week or so.
I'm not sure how I feel about those autonomous zones, you know, them occupying it. I could see if they're doing it and their demands are, but it just, the last time they had one in New York, remember Occupy Wall Street and how bad mm-hmm. they got, and people were getting raped and mugged and just, and it was dirty and it was, and it just wasn't, it's not organized. If they could get it organized and take over an area, I can understand it, and have like security and make sure somebody's keeping up with what's going on and knowing who these people are in there. I mean, you can get some of these tech people to make some kind of armband for when they come in this zone. They know who's going in, who's going out. You know, I mean, they need to do better to me. If you're going to do something like this, you need to be a little bit more organized. That's my only critique I'm going to have on those zones, because I understand what the protesters are trying to do, these activists are trying to do. They're trying to bring attention to just police brutality and all the stuff that's going on. But at the same time, somebody who's in charge needs to do a better job at getting it organized. And that's my only thing with the autonomous zones. And also, Mayor de Blasio wants to put write Black Lives Matter on the street like they did in Washington, D.C., in front of Trump Tower. And Trump tweeted about it. He said, no, there's no way. He's called Black Lives Matter. He didn't call them a terrorist group, but he thinks they're a hate group. So anyway, but we're not surprised.
Ooh, no.
It's craziness. So, I mean, Bill de Blasio is probably doing it on, you know, purpose, because, you know, he's not friends with President Trump. And why he wants to do it in front of Trump Tower, you know, that's just kind of like a slap in the face. But anyway, that's what they got going on in New York. So anyway, we're down to, well, we got 2 minutes and 45 minutes left. So what are your last parting words, my friend?
Well, I just want to just kind of piggyback on what you were saying about the autonomous zone. If they were, I think one, I don't think they realize how hard it is to build a city and everyone have designated roles that complement the community. It's hard to build all that up, especially overnight, because you have so many different groups. I think you talked about this last week, is you have so many different groups there. You got Black Lives Matter, you've got extremist groups, so many different groups with their own agenda there. It's hard to maintain them and make them to work cohesively as one. And I think it's hard for them to do that. So that's why we end up with this great big surge of everyone camping out, want to do well, and then it falls apart because you've got people just running amok and not really sticking to the agenda.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll get it together. But anyway, I want to make sure our listeners come back and visit us again next Thursday at 5 o'clock. I want to thank my co-host or host, Miss Vivian. Thank you again. And
thank you.
I guess we'll see you guys. Well, I don't know next week what we'll be talking about, because like you say, each day changes, so there's no telling. But Verna and Vivian will be back to talk about the topics that interest you. Thank you guys for tuning in.